recording this on an ultra busy. Do you ever hear ultra busy? No, we're not sponsored by Michelob. It is just ultra busy on Monday morning, September 27th. We are not even done with week 12. By the time you hear this, we will be done with week 12 in terms of Vikings-Bears. Although at the time we are recording this, that game is still many hours away. So it will not be included in our conversation with a recap of week 12. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you in the greater Tampa Bay area. Remember, $6 drinks all day, every day. And speaking of specials, on the 4th of each month, Hooters celebrates 40 years with throwback events featuring 83-cent wings and other great specials. Thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. In many leagues, I know in my foundation league, next week is it. We rolled it back a week after what happened with Bengals Bills last year in week 17. No Jalen Hurts in week 17. No Derrick Henry in week 17. So we rolled back everything 1 week. So our regular season in the foundation, because there is a three-week playoff, ends next week. For many of you, the regular season will likely end the following week. It might end in week 15, because I hope you only have a two-week playoff, because as I've said for years, if you're playing for a fantasy season-long championship utilizing week 18, the final week of the NFL regular season games that lose so much integrity, your commissioner needs to be replaced, because that's not a proper way to play fantasy football. Email right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. No, I haven't had too much coffee. I need more of it. I'm hosting Todd Wright Tour 44 on Saturday. Everyone just got their tea assignments. I got a lot of things going on, including a potential interview for the Carolina Panthers head coaching job. Now, the Tepper family has made that job the worst job in major football, NFL or Power 5. I don't think there's a worse job. The Teppers have made it toxic. They've owned the team 6 years. They have hired and they have fired three coaches. They will still be paying two not to coach for, I think, three more years. The fact that Jim Caldwell doesn't take over as interim coach tells you he wants nothing to do with this. It's awful. I feel for Bryce Young. It is becoming more and more clear. The Teppers wanted Bryce Young. None of the people they hired, personnel people, coaches, they wanted C.J. Stroud. And now they're going to lose their number one pick for a trade-up for the guy that the owners wanted and now can't get a franchise quarterback. I feel for Bryce Young. I don't know how he can get out of there and maybe start over somewhere else. This is worse than what Urban Meyer did to Trevor Lawrence at the beginning of Trevor Lawrence's career. Although that was year two for Trevor, wasn't it? No, it was year one, right? You had the no-brainer pick at one, and then the organization takes ETN, which has turned out really well considering James Robinson after that Achilles injury was essentially done. So the only thing good to come out of the Urban Meyer 2-11 at Jacksonville was the selection of ETN. I will admit that now. Where am I? Let's review. Independent of whatever happens in the Monday night game between the Vikings and the Bears, let's review the top performers based on my 21st century standard scoring settings for week 12. Josh Allen, boom, 36.4 points. Of course, in real life, he's now 0-6 in OT, and he had the ball first. 37.4 in fantasy, threw for 339, ran for 81, two touchdowns, one bad interception, two rushing touchdowns, just a monster. Jalen Hurts was two. So the top two fantasy performers for the week, independent of the Monday night game, were in the CBS game that effectively made Football Night in America pregame moot. Who the hell was watching Football Night in America with Bills and Eagles in the rain, Allen and Hurts putting on that show in Philadelphia? I flipped over right when the game ended, like maybe even a few seconds before it actually ended. And in the final few minutes, that's all that Football Night in America talked about. And then it was Carrie Underwood. And then we were off and running as Staley out-Staley'd Lamar, doing Lamar things as the Chargers lose to the Ravens. RB1 for the week was Kyren Williams' return with the Rams. Wow. 204 yards of tandem offense, two touchdowns, touched the ball 22 times. So much for the pitch count that was reported, that for every two snaps, Royce Freeman would get one. Maybe that still worked out, but my advice to you was maybe wait a week. I wish I hadn't, because Williams looks great. If he was someone you hung on to through the injury, or as I did in the foundation, I cut him and then picked him up 2 weeks before he was activated. He looks the part of an RB1 going into the end of the season and potentially the playoffs. Granted, he was playing the Arizona Cardinals. Does he get him one more time? I think he might. No, he already got him twice. It's the Browns next week. That will be much tougher sledding. Then the Ravens. That will be tough sledding. So, yeah, Kyren Williams. The touch counts will be there. But the next 2 weeks, tougher matchups for Williams. Dak Prescott, QB3. Overall, 4. Again, independent of Monday night, based on his performance on Thursday with 4 touchdowns against Washington. C.J. Stroud keeps playing like a top-5 fantasy quarterback, even in a loss. 3 touchdowns, 2 passing, 1 rushing for Houston. Run CMC, RB2, off his 2 touchdowns and 139 yards of tandem against Seattle. Jordan Love was QB5 with his Thanksgiving Day performance against the Lions. Bijan Robinson. Atlanta now leads the NFC South. They have a win against the Saints. Robinson touched the ball 19 times. Only 19, Arthur? 123, 2 touchdowns for Bijan against the Saints. Trevor Lawrence was QB6. Yes. 364, 1 touchdown passing, 1 rushing. Stafford bubbles up, available in 52% of leagues, granted, against Arizona. So even with Kyren Williams doing what he did on the ground, Stafford was worthy of a QB1 and is available 50% of leagues. Granted, against Arizona next 2 weeks, again, Browns, Ravens. So tough to plug and play with Williams maybe the next couple of weeks. Tough to stream Stafford the next couple of weeks. The touch counts with Kyren might be worthwhile. That's your call. Stafford threw for 229 and 4 touchdowns. Mostert on Black Friday, 20 carries, 94 and 2. Jonathan Taylor against the Bucks, 15, 91 and 2, and still seeded time to Zach Moss in a win. Isaiah Pacheco, still quietly, kind of a fringe RB1, more of a high RB2, in my opinion, but right there. 20 touches, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, I know he was on some benches, but he rolled in Frank Reich's finale for the Carolina Panthers. 19 touches, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Evans, wide receiver 1 for the week. 6 catches, 70 yards, two touchdowns. By the way, Mike Evans now 38 points away from leading the Bucs all time in scoring. 38 points away. Patrick Mahomes was next, then Kyler Murray. Let's get some other position guys in here. Josh Jacobs, 24 touches, 125 yards and a touchdown. Zay Flowers was wide receiver two. Is that possible? How about that? Zay Flowers with one touchdown rushing. Guess he should have taken a knee, but he coordinates the celebrations. He'll be fined for at least one of them because he used the ball as a prop twice. I think that's still a rule. He's a fun player. Six touches, 62 yards, two touchdowns. Calvin Ridley, second good week in a row. Excuse me, even had a two-point conversion. Hold on, more coffee. Five catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Ramondre, very favorable schedule down the stretch. What the hell else is New England going to do? 26 touches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Patriots stink. Play Ramondre. Rashee Rice comes through. 8 for 107 and a touch. Devontae Smith, 7 for 106 and a touch. Gabe Davis, 6 for 105 and a touch. Are you kidding? So these wide receivers in order only separated by 1 yard. Rice, 107 yards and a touchdown. Smith, 106 yards and a touchdown. Davis, 105 and a touchdown. Nico Collins, 104 and a touchdown. No way we have 103 and a touchdown, do we? No, we have 102 and a touchdown with Tyreek, but he added 2 yards rushing. That's hilarious to me. And Tony Pollard got in the end zone on Thanksgiving Day. So did Najee Harris. Both respectable performances. Okay, let's just talk about a few things in leagues I commission. In the podcast league, again, this is before Monday night, but it looks like Jeremy Roberts from Brandon Legal Group still playing hard late to try to make a push over the final few weeks. A decent week with a player to go for Captain Morgan still leading the way. Very strong week for Kevin. Although Chris is likely going to pass him again for second place. Tony Tega playing hard down the stretch. Scott Heckathorn with a nice week, trying to stay in it. I admire how hard some guys in the podcast league are playing. They are still chasing our defending champion, Captain Morgan, from last year. That is in the League of Champions. In the unnamed podcast league, we are all still chasing the man writing the checks, who is trying not to write a check for this league. Sean Sullivan, buy a car from him for the holidays. Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan. Seriously, go to Bill Curry Ford. Ask for Sean Sullivan. Tell him you listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. He'd love to sell you a car. Not the greatest week for Sean. So a number of us, like Greg Barker and Bengal Ralph and me, gain a little ground on him. Andrew DeWitt as well. But we still got a lot of work to do to catch Sean Sullivan in the podcast league that is unnamed. In the Fantasy Football Foundation, I am sadly on my way to, I believe, a fifth Governor's Cup in 5 years, named for William J. LaPetamane. It is a trophy that was broken and lost, and somewhere it sits with a shitload of dimes in it. And I can win the Governor's Cup, but not the Jimmy McGinty Trophy. I have clinched a first-round bye with my 10th win of the season. I'm 10-2. We are head-to-head in that league. Dave Wirth honestly looks like the best team. Rolling along. Hang on. There's no way Dave only put up that many this week. Did Dave actually lose? No, that is inaccurate. Okay. Yeah. Dave was a big winner. Put up triple digits. Something had not reset on my settings. So Dave's likely to get the other first round bye. Former champion Jared, former two-time champion Doc are going to make the playoffs. We have a wife. I got to be careful how I say this. I was going to say a wife beating a husband. Well, it's better than a husband beating a wife, especially if you're on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney World, where they changed it. Anyway, Tara defeated Joey in the Battle of DePompos. Both still should make the playoffs, but have a little work to do. What's it going to be next week? They're both 6-6. They're both right there. And Sean Weatherington may, or Ben, we may have a, yeah. Sean or Ben? Ben has been the ass man at least once. Sean has been the ass man once. Looks like we're going to have a repeat ass man in the foundation. All right, send me your fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. We will effort getting you another one next week. We did last week for distribution purposes beyond my control. You did not get it. I apologize for that. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. $6 drinks all day, every day. Visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you in the greater Tampa Bay area. Thanks for listening.